Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, August 13th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Among our top stories this evening:
gloves off as ZANU-PF factions fight for political turf ahead of this week's Women's League annual conference and the party's crucial December elective congress.
What it clearly shows is that factions in ZANU-PF, they are now reeling their ugly heads. It is the battle to succeed with President Robert Mugabe. This is why you see these accusations, these insults being said against each other by the ZANU-PF officials.
Local and international civil society groups call on SADC leaders to address human rights issues in different countries in the region, including Zimbabwe, when they meet for their annual regional summit in Victoria Falls Sunday.
Already you can see the access SADC has already begun to be complicated because SADC achieved the ritual case of democratization in Zimbabwe. And so it's going to be very difficult for anybody who does not come through Mugabe who has access to SADC.
And a local pressure group, the Coalition Against Corruption, calls on Parliament to probe Maswingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti over the alleged disappearance of Tokwe Mukosi cash and other donations.
Divisions and bitterness are simmering in the faction-riddled ZANU-PF ahead of tomorrow's women's conference, which has been marred by alleged poor organization blamed on factionalism. President Robert Mugabe will officially open the conference. Insiders say he will again try to address growing divisions in his party. The friction has spilled into the public arena, with party bigwigs now openly trading barbs and engaging in physical fights. The party is allegedly divided between those backing the Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa as the battle to succeed an aging President Robert Mugabe holds up. Mujuru and Mnangagwa have, however, religiously said they do not lead any factions in the party. ZANU-PF Secretary for Women's Affairs Opam Chinguri, linked to the Mnangagwa faction, dropped a bombshell this week, alleging that some party members are kidnapping and intimidating women ahead of the conference.
The charge has been dismissed by the Mujuru faction that is now calling on the party to discipline her for bringing the name of the party into disrepute. But divisions reached a crescendo Monday when ZANU-PF Kwekwe Central National Assembly member Masango Matambanazo allegedly assaulted the party secretary for security for Kushinga District, Makom Sipa, in Kwekwe, accusing him of being aligned to Mnangagwa. Efforts to get a comment from Chinguri were futile as her mobile phone went unanswered. But ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, in an interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, dismissed the reports that the party is in turmoil.
No, preparations are going on well. We are happy with the preparations that have been done. I think the conference will succeed to come out with some positive results.
But we are reading reports, particularly in the Herald, that all is not well. The preparations were not done well, and there is no food for delegates.
Look, this is just propaganda. Some journalist who is overzealous, who want to show that the party is not organized. We have elements of that nature in the public media who think that they have all the answers to the questions. As far as we are concerned, the conference is going well. Food will be available, accommodation will be available. I've been talking to the Women's League members. They are very happy with what is going on. So we don't want the people who exaggerate things for the sake of having the Herald report By people.
The women's boss, Maim Chinguri, was also alleging that some members were being kidnapped and that some were being bribed. What is happening?
Look, it's your own view, your own perception. It's not really reality on the ground. The reality on the ground is that things are okay. The police are very clear. There is no kidnapping. If they were kidnapping people who have been arrested by the police. So there is nothing like that. It's unfortunate that she has seen it fit to talk about those things which seriously affected the image of the party. It's damaging the party. But in any case, the party has policies and procedures to follow when incidents of this nature occur. And there are rules and regulations of dealing with this issue. So for us, it's nothing but perhaps trying to inflate the image and so on.
So is this going to be investigated by the party?
Of course, the party will have to look into that. It will be raised, I'm sure, at the National Election Directorate, and I'm sure in the Politburo as well. We don't want people who smear the party and try to discredit the party and bring to the party.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu on the line from Harare. Political analyst Blessing Vava tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the divisions in the party can be traced to Mr. Mugabe's failure to open discussion on his successor.
What it clearly shows is that the factions in ZANU-PF, they are now reeling their ugly heads. It is the battle to succeed the President Robert Mugabe. This is why you see these accusations, these insults being threaded against each other by the ZANU-PF officials.
But is this not just a campaign gimmick by some, and we'll see it subsiding soon after Congress?
I don't think so. If you check the history of ZANU-PF for the past 10 or so years, there have been clear factions that have been fighting. It is going to be very much difficult, and now with the entrance of Grace Mugabe in the ZANU-PF national leadership. Also, Grace Mugabe, it's seemingly that she's also pulling from another angle. But as long as President Mugabe and ZANU-PF has failed to deal effectively with the succession issue, we are likely going to see more fights escalating as we are going to Congress and even after the Congress of ZANU-PF.
And that was political analyst Blessing Vava speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Local and international civil society groups have called on SADC leaders to address human rights issues in different countries, including Zimbabwe, when they meet for their annual regional summit in Victoria Falls Sunday. Groups including Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights will call a press conference tomorrow and urge SADC action over rights breaches in Zimbabwe, Angola, Zambia, Malawi, and Swaziland. The concern comes as President Robert Mugabe is set to take over the chairmanship of the regional bloc at the weekend. Political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya says this means Zimbabwean opposition parties that have previously benefited from SADC intervention will no longer be entertained by the regional body.
My personal opinion really is that things can only get worse before they get better. I do not see this development having any implications on SADC and Zimbabwe in particular.
As for Zimbabwe's opposition political parties, do you see them getting an opportunity under the Mugabe chairmanship to raise their concerns about the Zimbabwean situation to SADC?
Unlikely, because already some committee that is meant to be talking about admission of participants has already told MVCT, I think it must be Sozano Kope, that SADC Zimbabwe is not on the agenda of SADC, and SADC is a gathering of heads of state. So already you can see the access SADC has already begun to be complicated, because SADC assumes the risk facade of democratization in Zimbabwe. And so it's going to be very difficult for anybody who does not come through Mugabe to have access to SADC.
Are there any changes that you see Mr. Mugabe bringing to the operations of SADC in the region as a whole?
I doubt it very much. Look, our time-worn argument is that Mr. Mugabe has been president in Zimbabwe for 34 years and is very reluctant to change things towards a more progressive democratization. So SADC being an old boys club, a club that is mostly composed of authoritarian dictators, I do not see Mugabe changing anything. If anything, he can only maintain the status quo so that he can conform to the SADC system that generally is very conservative and is unwilling. willing to rattle the boat when it comes to fellow members.
That was political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya in Harare.
A pressure group campaigning against graft, the Coalition Against Corruption, today called on Parliament to probe Masvingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti over the alleged disappearance of some money and other donations meant for Chingwizi flood victims. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Coalition Against Corruption Director Terry Mutswanga says his organization is unhappy with reports that more than half a million dollars donated by the Chinese government to assist the Chingwizi flood victims has not reached its intended beneficiaries.
We understand that there was some United States, $500,000 United States dollars that was handed over by the Chinese embassy some few months ago to assist the victims of the flooding. But we do not even know how that money was disbursed or was used in actually assisting the flood victims. Because when we toured Chingwizi on several occasions, we could hear complaints from disgruntled villagers that they are going to bed on empty stomachs. So there's greater need to actually look into that.
Mutswanga called on Parliament to set up a probe team to investigate the Tokwe Mukosi government-appointed committee led by Masvingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti.
I think there is need for Parliament to set up a committee that actually investigates on how the donations that were disbursed to the people of Chingwizi were used. Because there were reports that came out saying such donations were abused by greedy officials who went on to loot the donations at the expense of the suffering people of Chingwizi. So there is greater need to look into this issue so that if there are any individuals who actually looted these donations are brought to book.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights says it is concerned by the deteriorating food situation at Chingwizi following recent skirmishes at the transit camp. Zete Lecturer spokesperson Kumbirai Mafunda tells Studio 7 that the shortage of food at Chingwizi is now threatening the flood victims' constitutional right to food.
We interacted with villagers from Chingwizi when we went there to assist them with legal assistance as Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. We remain concerned by the reports which CAC has unearthed about the denial of food. We interacted with these villagers whereby they told us about the food rations that they get, which they said were insufficient or inadequate. They spoke about the rations to do with peas and maize, which they said were inadequate to meet their needs. So we remain concerned by the situation in Chingwizi as Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and applaud efforts by CAC and other organizations to go and assist the people of Zimbabwe, of Chingwizi, rather than being seated in these offices.
For his part, Basikiti told Studio 7 by phone that he would welcome the setting up of a probe team to look into the corruption allegations. He said this would help clear his name and that of his committee. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says it has started preparations for its 15th anniversary, slated for Masvingo's Mucheke Stadium on the 13th of September. Party organizing secretary Nelson Chamisa says this year's celebrations are more important because the party is holding its Congress in October to gear itself for the 2018 elections. This year's anniversary comes at a time the party is facing a split following the formation of the Renewal team led by former Secretary General Tendai Biti. Chamisa tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they have set up committees to plan the celebrations.
We are almost ready with all the preparations logistically and also programmatically in terms of the event on the 13th of September, wherein we are going to be celebrating our 15 years of existence. So we are taking it upon ourselves to celebrate in style. We are celebrating the heroic sacrifices. We are celebrating the journey. We are celebrating the ups and downs and commemorating to reflect on the challenges that we have faced so far and the kind of approach we are taking as we turn a corner, as we reach our last or final mile to the transfer of power into the hands of the MDC in a new dispensation in a new Zimbabwe.
What is the theme of this year's anniversary?
Our theme is towards the final lap in achieving real and total change as we transfer power. We are celebrating and appreciating the fact that we are in our last steps. We are on the final lap to the new dispensation, to a new Zimbabwe. So the theme is to celebrate and reinvigorate ourselves as we brace up for the final challenge, the last hurdle.
This comes at a time when your party is facing a split.
It's not a split, my brother. It's actually a rejuvenation of the party. What we have seen is a splinter. Comrades, we have decided that they have matured or they have grown big enough to have their own party. We wish them well. They have gone. We are now making sure that we revive our party.
That was MDCT Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
all eyes on the ZANU-PF Women's Conference as Grace Mugabe eyes top ZANU-PF Women's League post.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Germany is urging its citizens to leave Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia due to the Ebola outbreak in the West African nations.
Israeli and Palestinian negotiators are in the third day of talks in Cairo in a final bid to reach an enduring truce to end more than a month of fighting in Gaza.
And U.S. President Barack Obama is among those calling for calm in the aftermath of the shooting to death of an unarmed black teenager by a police officer in a suburb of St. Louis in Missouri.
Zimbabwe's first lady, Lady Grace Mugabe, is set to become part of the ruling party's highest decision-making body. Analysts say this move could dent the chances of Vice President Joyce Mujuru succeeding 90-year-old President Robert Mugabe when his term ends. Sebastian Mofu files for VOA from Harare.
Over the past week, two of three key organs in Zimbabwe's ruling ZANU-PF party have nominated Grace Mugabe to lead party's women's section. That puts her in line to be part of ZANU-PF Central Committee, the party's highest decision-making body. She has since said she is ready for the new position. Opamu Chinguri, who has been leading the party's women's section, says she will step down in favor of the president's wife. She hopes factionalism and debate over Mr. Mugabe's successor will now become a thing of the past in ZANU-PF.
Nekuti mai wati ndinoda hangu waimboti ndidi politics asi wakajoiniswa mai wana wenyu wati titungamirei.
Muchinguri says all the secret talks about succession will now be over. It is because we have given the burden to quell that to her. I know it is a tall order, she says. It is not easy because mother had been saying, I don't want to be in politics, but she was asked to join it. So mother, your children say leaders, she says. Some analysts say President Mugabe asked his wife to enter politics so that she can take over from the 90-year-old leader whose term ends in 2017, although he's eligible to run for re-election. Others believe he wants to position her as a counterweight to Vice President Mujuru or other potential rivals in the party. Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa are considered favorites to eventually take over from Mr. Mugabe, who has been Zimbabwe's leader since 1980 when the country won its independence from Great Britain. Pedzisai Ruhanya, who heads the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, says that at minimum, Grace Mugabe will become a significant figure in Zimbabwean politics going forward.
This is Grace expressing her realizing that the president is nearing his sunset in terms of his political career. Anyone who wants to take over from Mugabe must make sure that the future of the family is protected, must also make sure that if that person takes over from Mugabe, Grace must be found maybe as a minister or as an important figure in any future government after Mugabe.
On Friday, Mr. Mugabe addressed his party's youth conference but mentioned nothing about retiring from politics. On several occasions, he has attacked senior officials within ZANU-PF who have talked about succession, saying that fuels factionalism within Zimbabwe's ruling party. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Thank you, Mofu. Now we go to the Zimbabwe National Association for Mental Health, which says health practitioners and the government should change the way they treat mental health issues in the country, as the number of young people facing mental problems is growing. Marking International Day of Youth yesterday, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said the UN wants to help lift the veil that keeps young people locked in chamber isolation and silence when they are suffering from mental illnesses. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Ignatius Murambidzi, director of the Zimbabwe National Association for Mental Health, who explains the effects of mental illnesses on young people.
Our youth nowadays, especially here in Zimbabwe, do face a number of challenges which impact negatively upon their mental well-being.
There is also the issue of stigma when it comes to those who might be feeling some of these conditions. Are young people willing to come and talk to your organization and seek help on this problem?
Yes, we have seen youth trickling in, but we are still very much sure that, you know, not all youth who are supposed to be getting those services are coming forth. As you have pointed out, that, you know, stigma and discrimination is still very, very an issue which youth need to battle against. You know, mental health services and, you know, mental health problems in Zimbabwe. These are issues which are not commonly discussed. So people don't really have the information. What they have are misconceptions on mental health services and mental health problems, which results in stigma and discrimination.
And there's also a misconception about what exactly a mental health is. Can you explain what are some mental health conditions that people might face day to day?
Yes, mental health problems affect people a wide range of areas, which include what we call common mental disorders like depression and anxiety. These are conditions which are very common among our people and which some of our people here in Zimbabwe might not conceive them as mental health problems. So if you could hardly see a person coming
to say, you know, I am feeling depressed, because like in our local understanding, depression in other ways is just thinking too much. And you'd rarely see a person coming forth to say, you know, I feel I need to be assisted.
Ignatius Murambidzi is the director of the Zimbabwe National Association for Mental Health. Highlanders Football Fan. Highlanders Football Club fan Tembinko Silini Hloli, who died following clashes between soccer supporters of Zimbabwe's two top Premier League clubs, is expected to be laid to rest tomorrow amid calls for thorough investigations into his death. The late Hloli's brother, Lovegate, says police are still investigating the cause of his death Sunday after a game that featured bitter rivals Highlanders and Dynamos in Bulawayo. Lovegate says they are currently waiting for a post-mortem report following an autopsy that was conducted sometime this week. He says Tembinko Sini's body will this evening be ferried to Lower Gweru in Midlands Province for burial tomorrow. Lovegate thanked well-wishers for helping the family in raising money for the funeral and related necessities. Police in Bulawayo declined to comment about the cause of Tembinko Sini's death, saying investigations are in progress.
Meanwhile, the South Central Junior Tennis Circuit Tournament, which started 2 weeks ago, is progressing well, with teams from Europe and Asia already knocked out. African teams are expected to progress to the finals Friday. Tennis Zimbabwe manager Cliff Nokwara says South Africa, Egypt and Zimbabwe are expected to battle it out Friday. He spoke with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye earlier on.
This is an open tournament, open to all junior players below 18, players from all over the world. We have participants who came from as far as Japan, some from Ukraine, England, a lot of European countries, and lots of African countries. It's been a three-week period, which started earlier, late July, on the 25th, with our finals on each Saturday. So far we've had two finals. Zimbabwean players haven't performed badly, but the third week, which is finishing on Friday, hasn't been that good for our players. But they did pretty well in the doubles, and we still we have double finals on Thursday, which is tomorrow. We have a Zimbabwe girl in the double final and a Zimbabwe boy in the boys double final.
And also, you got a strong commendation from the International Tennis Federation for the way you have been handling this tournament. What's your take on that?
It's a continuation of our good relations with the International Tennis Federation. Hopefully, we try to help develop tennis in Zimbabwe, but with the working of our international leaders, it means we are developing tennis for players who are in Southern Africa and the entire world, given that we are now attracting players coming from as far as Europe and Asia.
That was Tennis Zimbabwe manager Cliff Nokwara speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Harare. And today, what do we have, Sandy, in our mailbag?
A lot of emails, Chris. We'll start with Plaxedis Mugucha. I'll give that to you because I've got a lot that I'll have to transfer as we read and translate into English. You take it away.
Okay, Sandy, I have here Plaxedis, like you said, she's writing from Gutu. And she says, please come to Gutu to get the views of the people here about what is affecting us. We thank you all for the news you are giving us. Keep up the good work. And then I have another one from Kelvin Mafu of Gwanda, who says, I've been monitoring events in ZANU-PF and it's clear that these people are frustrating Vice President Joyce Mjuru from becoming the next president. And Sandy, the last one is from Jonara of Mberengwa, who writes, ZANU-PF wants President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, to succeed the president.
And Chris, I've got here a lot of emails from Studio 7 listeners, most of them saying, well done to Studio 7 for covering most parts of the country, and they're saying, keep on keeping on. Let me read this one from Mutare Marange Kwabocha. You are true, sure, guys. Keep the good work up. Never be busy for all Zimbabweans. We are very good, and all for our And all for our best, don't forget to give us a sweet country music from the Cowboys. We will try to do that. I'll just try to read some of the names. We've got Kuda, my live soccer updates. He's asking for us to give them live soccer updates. We've got so many emails. We'll try to give you tomorrow. But please keep on keeping on. Remember, Studio 7 Live Talk will discuss the ZANU-PF Women's Conference at 8:30. Now we hand you over to the Ndebele Bulletin. This is Sandra Nyaira. Good night.